kind words. Happy Sabbath. It is always a blessing to come into God's house on a Sabbath day. Especially to come and hear what he has for us individually, as a family, and as a church. We thank God that we are here this great Sabbath morning to come and share, including this message is mine also, and as it is for you, my fellow family that are here this morning. I would like to bow down and we have another word of prayer. Let us pray. Our most precious Holy Father, you are the God Almighty, the God who created all things. You even created us, the most precious in your sight. Lord, it is a blessing to come in your house on a Sabbath day to come and worship you. We are about to share and talk about the things that you have written in the Bible that is for us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, will lead us into all truth. We pray, Father, that whatever is been shared here, it will glorify you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Can you please stand with me on the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. A very well-known verse. I'd like for us to read with me this morning. If you are there on that particular chapter, say amen. Are you there? Okay, we'll read together. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land." This is the prayer of King Solomon. When you read chapter 6, excuse me, this is the words that he prayed to the Lord, to the God of heaven. And God responded to him on this particular verse, telling him, "If my people," there's a word that I would like us to ponder on this morning. The word that I'd like us to go, if you read your bulletin, the topic of my sermon is prayer and revival. And the word that is there is included, pray. Okay, we go to Acts chapter 1. That is from our scripture reading this morning. Thank you, Leah, for the reading of the scripture this morning. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12 and 14, the disciples, when you read chapter 1, the disciples on verse 4, can we read it together? Acts 1, 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which is, said he, they've heard of me." The promise that was given by the disciples, by Jesus himself, go and wait. It was not a promise, it was a command. And I believe that command is yours as is mine too this morning. We have to wait. The Bible is telling us this morning, you wait for the promise of the what? Of the Holy Ghost. So we are reminded once again, church family, and this morning, that this is something that we all need in our walk with the Lord. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit will guide us. The Bible says the Spirit will guide us into all truth, written down by John. So we are so grateful and thankful that the command that was given to the disciples, and it is here for us, and we read in the scripture this morning that was read by Leah, it says that they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount and called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they were up into the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. And it says, it continues to read on 14, they all continued with one accord in what? In prayer. And what else? Supplication with a woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Please bear with me as you read, as you listen to the music, the song that my brothers here will sing for us this morning.
There's a sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on his face, and I know that it's the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love, and for his blessings
we lift our hearts in prayer. Without a doubt,
we'll know
that we have been revived.
When we shall leave this place.
We thank the Lord for the message that is in the song this morning. We'll continue from here on a scripture reading. The Bible says that the disciples and the woman that were written there, they assembled together. That means they were in one accord in one place. It shows me, to me when I was reading this text, there was unity among them. When you look at the lives of the disciples before Pentecost, before when Jesus ascended up on high, there were a lot of trying to say, oh, I'm the leader. I'm the one who's supposed to be the first. But I thank the Lord that all these things are written in the book, in his holy words, for us to learn from. The Bible says that they were there, assembled together in one accord. And for the next 40 days, he appeared to them, showing them proof that he was alive. giving them courage, speaking to the disciples about the kingdom of God, his assurance and his presence. And he told them, I will be with you, even though he's about to go, but his presence will be with them. The Holy Spirit that we all need will be with us as we continue to draw closer to God. Like I said earlier, in Acts 1, the disciples, the apostles, and the woman that were there, they assembled together. They were commanded not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. If you read verse 8 on Acts 1, you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What was the promise? The promise was the presence of the Holy Spirit, empowering them, guiding them, leading them, that they will be witnesses. And I believe this morning, church, we as a family, God has called you and me to be a witness out there. Wherever you are, whichever part of Sacramento you live in, you should be a witness for him and for his glory alone. And the question that I would like to ask us this morning, how will we receive power? Us, how will we receive this power? Luke 24, verse 53. We'll go to the word to guide us in this answering this question. How will they receive power, the disciples? But for us, how will we receive power? Okay, we look at Luke 24, verse 53. It says, and they were continually, are you there? 53, Luke 24, 53. And they were what? Continually in the what? Praising God and what? Blessing God. You know, sometimes when there were time in this chapel, the pews are empty. I remember when during COVID, it was really empty. So God is trying to draw us back into the word that we should what? Continually, the word there is to continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Acts 1:14. This all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and supplication. Mrs. White says, where there is prayer want to be made, you, me, should be there. That's the word of the servant of the Lord. And I praise God for that we should make an effort. Wherever you are, come to prayer meeting. We have even a prayer line every morning on Monday to Friday for half an hour. Just a few are coming to prayer. My plea this morning, church, as a church, as a family, please come to prayer meeting. Come where the meeting, the prayer is made. Acts 2:42. I'm just letting the word of God remind us once again. Acts 2:42. What did the apostles work do? What did they do? Can you read with me, please? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? And in prayer. There it comes again. When we look at these verses in the Bible that is speaking to us this morning, we know that it is very important. God is trying to tell us something, that prayer is something that we should be involved in. Because the apostles did it. And what did happen to them? The Holy Spirit came down. And you look at chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. They preached, and how many got converted? 3,000. And there was lots of miracles that they did. Why? Because the Spirit was with them. The power was with them. They always say, more prayer, more power. That means the opposite is no prayer, no power. We should be a faithful church praying. We are so good in the Bible. We are Seventh-day Adventists. But going down on our knees, that is where something, where we are lacking. This word prayer, this topic that I'm preaching to you is something very dear to me. And the question that I'd like us this to ask us this morning, what is prayer? I'll read from Steps to Christ, page 98. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. You know, we all have friends, right? Most of us have good friends. I have a friend back in Fiji when I was working in the telecommunication industry, when I was there back home. I have a very good friend. I always tell him everything. We share. I still talk to him till now. Now we are both retired. But we still talk to each other because he is my what? Good friend. The quotation by Mrs. White, the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You should open up your heart to God. Tell him everything. He's there waiting for you and me to tell him our, not only the big needs, even the what? The small needs. Psalm 62:8. Are you there? 62:8. What does the Bible say? Trust in him at what? All times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Mrs. White continues to say in her book, Prayer, prayer is the breath of the soul. When we don't have air in our lungs, what happens? We die physically, right? But if you don't have the breath of the soul in us, that is prayer, then we'll die spiritually too. So that means what I'm saying is we have to continue to pray. Not only for the good times, the bad times, or whatever things that you go through, prayer is very important. I always wonder sometimes people, when I see people eating, they just sit down and start eating. They don't even give thanks to the food. If that is happening, I don't know what about in their spiritual walk with the Lord. Do they pray? I'm not trying to criticize or point a finger at anyone. I'm trying to uplift us. Please, continue to pray. There's a lot of admonition in the Bible when the Lord himself, we are so blessed that he even showed the disciples. He taught the disciples how to pray. He taught the disciples what to do. When we look at the life of Jesus, it was a life of prayer. In Philippians 4:6, are you there? Philippians 4:6, can we read it together? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. As I've said earlier, you know, most of the time we just tell God the big ones. We don't tell God the small trials you go through in life. The Bible is admonishing us this morning on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's saying, be careful for what? For nothing, but in what? In everything by prayer. I've made it a rule in my life whenever I sit in my car in the morning. I ask the Lord to go with me when I'm right. And I've been doing that now for quite a while. And when I come back later, when I come back home, I said, Lord, thank you for your protection on my travels, on my driving. The Bible is telling us in everything, not only the big things, the small things, everything, give it to him in prayer. God listens. They always say that prayer is just a what? A breath away. You know, sometimes we talk. We talk with friends for hours, but we don't talk to God in hours. We give just a little bit of time to him in our prayers. I'm trying to remind us, church, as a church family, we have to be on our knees all the time. Prayer should be important for us. How many times do we eat in a day? 3 times, not including the snacks we eat, right? And even when you take that snacks, do you pray about it or no? So, no, this is something for us to think about. We should be a praying church. If anything that is Sacramento Central should be known of, it is a praying church. Because prayer brings unity. Prayer brings power. Prayer brings strength. As a church, as we walk together for his coming. The world is out there dying. People are searching, looking for the answers that they are looking for now because of the things that are going around us. But we are so blessed and thankful that the Lord has provided us this avenue where we can come to him with all our burdens, with everything that we have. Come to him. Come to him. Connect with him in prayer. What about in the morning when you wake up? Do you pray? No, these are the questions that I just want to let it out in our minds, to work it out in our minds, that prayer is very important. Just like Philippians, Paul is saying here to the Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. When is the good time to pray? You can pray anytime. Even when you are walking, even when you are driving. I remember when I was back home in Fiji, before I became an Adventist, I come from a Catholic background. All my family in the village are all Catholics. But when I was working in the city, I went to a Baptist church, the Southern Baptist. It's a guy from Texas who's a pastor who came in our church. One day we were driving to the capital city for a meeting, and I was sitting on the seat beside him, and he told me, okay, we'll pray. He was driving. I was looking at the meter. It was like almost 80, 90. He said, let's pray. I said, who? Me or you? He said, me. I prayed. I just shut my mouth. I closed my mouth. And I looked at him. He was praying and driving too at the same time. After we said amen, he turned to me. His name is Dwight. He said to me, hey, Alfredi, I noticed you. He was looking at me. I said, yeah, Pastor, I was scared you might get into the drain. And he told me the story. That thing never went out of my mind any time. He told me the story. You know, I just want to remind us. You know, we can pray anytime. Morning. The Bible says, when you look at the Bible, there are stories of instances written there. Go with me to Psalms 55. It is written there in Psalms 55, verse 17. Say amen if you are there. Let us read. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out aloud. He shall hear my voice. When David was praying? Evening morning, and what? Noon. So prayer, it should be an all-day affair. The Muslims, they are heathens, not like us. They pray 5 times in a day. If they are so loyal to their prayer time, why are we are not doing that? This is the church of God. This is God's church on earth. And we should be represented by praying, by a praying to a praying God. We should be doing more than that. It is not because we want to show everyone that we are so faithful in our prayer. No, because the strength, our strength, the church strength, this movement strength comes from prayer when we are draw closer to God. And the Bible is reminding us this morning, evening, morning, and at noon. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. There's another reason when to pray. Can we read? 1 Peter 4, 7. Amen. Thank you. If you are there, we'll read it together. 1 Peter 4, 7. By the end of all things is at what? Hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We are living in a very hard time, right? If there is a reason why we should pray, it is now. We should be praying. Philippians. Oh, we've already done that. Daniel 6:10. Daniel 6:10. We are so grateful for the Bible. We thank you, grateful to God that everything is written here, just like the Bible says. These things were written for our admonition. The Bible is there to teach us what to do and what not. So we are thankful. We are grateful to the Lord for that. In Daniel 6, verse 10. You are there now? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This is the new thing that Daniel is doing, right? Church, this is a new thing Daniel is doing. No? Okay. I'm glad you guys are not sleeping. The Bible says when the writing was there, Daniel has his custom. He went into his room, the door facing Jerusalem. How many times? 3 times. And what did he do? He prayed and what? Gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So that was nothing new. It was usual for him to do that. No wonder Daniel was so powerful in the Bible. The lion's mouth can be shut. And he can get out of the fire. And he can do anything he wants. Because why? God was with him because of the power that was with Daniel. We've read now that what is prayer? Prayer is the opening of the heart to God. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life, strengthen the sinew and the muscles of religious experience. We see, you know, there are a lot of, you know, people with handicaps. Some, they have been handicapped because they did not do a lot of exercise, physical exercise. It's a big thing here in America, the physical therapy thing. Most of our members are physical therapists. We praise the Lord for that. But in the spiritual exercise, which is very important in this life and the life to come, prayer is important. Reading the Bible is important. It goes together. So we thank the Lord that I've been reminded too in this sermon. This sermon too is for me, because I know I haven't been praying as much as I'm supposed to pray. Like Daniel, three times a day. In the Bible, we are so grateful that we had been admonished by the Lord to have a strong, faithful prayer life. The reasons to pray. 1 Peter 5:7. Look through the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7. Are you there? Let us read. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you and me. Why should we, you know, Mrs. White put it like this in one of her books. She said, the biggest burden that is on a man's mind is sin. Why should you carry your burden when you have someone who is there to carry it for you? Give it to him. The Bible is telling us this morning, cast all your cares. When you read the word cast, it's not like giving. You are like you are pouring everything to him. You cast it away. Cast all your cares, not only some, not only the financial. Because I'm working, oh no, don't give that to God. I can do my, no. Everything the Bible is telling us. Your relationship. Young people, your relationship, especially your relationship with the Lord, put it up to him. Why? The answer is there. For he cares for me. He cares for you. Why should we carry all these burdens around? Those are the questions that we'll be asking ourselves. Philippians 4. There's a lot of Bible reading. Philippians 4. Verse 6 and 7. You there? Thank you. The Bible says in verse 6, be careful for what? For nothing, but in what? Everything by what? Prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what I was saying. Why should we carry all our burdens? Why should we taking a lot of things in our mind when we can give it up to God? God is inviting us to, you and me, to pray. It is not my word. It's the word of God. Give it to him. The song that was sang in the start of the service is, I must what? Tell Jesus. You must tell Jesus. You can tell a wife something, but everything you tell him. You know, we are so blessed that, you know, we have a partner. We are the married ones. You know, you have a wife. I have my wife. We share everything, you know, in our personal lives. But with God, remember, he's always there. Your wife, her phone can go off one time, or you can be separated at one time, but God won't be separated from you at any time. God is always there. And that is the beauty of serving this God. He listens and he hears our prayer. Wherever you are. Psalms 50, 15. Psalms 50, 15. Like I said earlier, there is a lot of text in my sermon this morning. I would like to remind us again, through the word of God. This is not my own. This is the Lord's word. So I want us to be reminded. Psalms 15, 50:15, what does it say? And call upon me in the day of what? And I will what? And what? Shall glorify me in the day of trouble. I remember one of a guy, old guy, he's back in Fiji. He was a well-known criminal in my city. He was put, he committed a murder, but it was, there was some, you know, some things were going on through with this guy. He was in the Supreme Court cell down below, and the only thing that he this was his testimony. And he said to himself, he was looking and the light was coming out from the bar, the windows outside. He was looking and he was, and he told myself, God, if you are alive, if you are real, please get me out of this predicament I'm in. That was his prayer. For 3 or 4 days he was in that cell. And when the time he was, and he had the trial went on for like a couple of weeks, and he was acquitted on that charge. I met him a few, we were in a prayer group, group together. I met him and he shared the story to me. This was like 40 years ago. He said, Now I know the power of prayer. God listens to you even when you are in the darkest cell. God hears you. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I'll what? I will answer. What else? And I will tell you great and mighty things that you know not. They always say that this is the telephone number to heaven, to God. Jeremiah 33:3. This is one of my favorite verses. Even when I was not married, I've read this verse. And I know God is there. It is my only time. For me, the only thing for me to do is to dial his name. Number, Jeremiah 33:3. God answers. 1 John 5. First John 5, are you there? Verse 14 and 15. Okay. All there? I'll read it out. And this is the confidence that we have in what? In him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. 15, and we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. And we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Isn't that beautiful? The confidence we have in Christ. When you pray, you know, God answers. God hears and he answers. That is the confidence that I should have as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Christian. I should have the confidence because knowing that this is a God who answers prayers. I always wonder sometimes in my walk with the Lord, what about if you don't have a God who answers prayers? I don't know how we will be, living in our lives spiritually. There's a story in Nehemiah chapter 2. You've already read about Nehemiah. I think most of you guys know about Nehemiah, what he went through. He was serving as the cupbearer for the king. The spirit of prophecy says that for 4 months, Nehemiah has been praying to the Lord, praying that the Lord will provide or give a chance for him to share something to the king. It came to a particular day when Nehemiah went in to serve the king's wine. The king, on his throne, he looked down and saw Nehemiah with a sad face. And the king, you know, they at the time, because there were a lot of conspiracies or whatever going through, the king said, this guy is sad. His face doesn't look good. He asked Nehemiah, hey, Nehemiah, you have been serving in this court for so long. Why are you sad? And Nehemiah looked at the king. This, on Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, wherefore the king said unto him, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then Nehemiah said, then I was very sore afraid. And the king and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father, sepulchres, lie waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? At that instant, Nehemiah, the verse says, so I prayed to the God of heaven in front of the king. He did not bow down and pray. He did not utter a word of prayer. But his mind went up to God in prayer, because the last 4 months he has been praying. And God has been hearing. And, you know, I always keep this on my mind. God has been recording all his prayers. And when the particular prayer came that morning, God knew, this is the time for me to intervene. When you read that chapter, when you read the prophet and kings, the Lord, Nehemiah, took time to pray. 4 months he was praying for this particular time for the God to intervene for the Israelites, because of the broken walls and the desecrated temple and all the things that were. Nehemiah was a reformer, just like Ezra. But Nehemiah's hidden power was the power of prayer. If that can happen to Nehemiah, I believe it can happen to you and to me. Because this God hears prayers. As we sit down this morning and think deeply of the way the Lord has helped us, the way the Lord has led us in the past. You know, some of us have been walking with the Lord for long. Some of us, we just witnessed last week there was a baptism here. Some have just beginning their walk with the Lord. I want to assure us, I want to uplift us. Please, be a person of prayer. Do it at your home. If you don't come to prayer meeting, be a prayer warrior at home. But the Bible, you know, the Bible, and there are a lot of things written about prayer. Where there is prayer to be made, you should be there. I should be there. This will help us in our walk with the Lord. We thank the Lord that, you know, maybe this is the time the Lord is trying to tell us something, that we should go back to our primitive, godless God has wanted us to be a man of prayer and to be the man of the book. Like I've said earlier, we as Seventh-day Adventists are known to be people of the what? Of the book. Are we known as people of prayer? I leave that question to you this morning. In your own hearts, set your own hearts. How is my prayer life? Am I like what the spirit of prophecy is saying? Prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted, and the health of the soul be preserved. It is only through prayer. So if you are lacking in our prayer life with you, I'm not saying that you guys are not praying. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if that is lacking in my life and in your life, please do something about it. Now is the time to act. God is about to come. We see the world is getting crazier all around us. So if it is a time for us to draw near to God, this is the time to draw near to our Savior. Have a personal relationship with you. Because when you look at Acts, we'll go back to Acts. When you look at Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, what happened on those that we've read before? When the disciples were united in one place, when the disciples have, you know, everything between them was like an open book. They did not, when I look at this brother here, or look at the other sister there, there's something there. But on this particular instance, when they were together in one accord in one place, a lot of things took place. Why? Because the Spirit was working in their life, because they were praying. They were praying not only one prayer, it was a lot of prayer. The Bible tells us they were continually in the temple praising God and praying. And on Acts 2, what happened when, you know, because prayer, the answer will come sooner or later. In Acts chapter 2, we can read that the disciples and the apostles were filled by the what? Holy Spirit. And they preached. How many were baptized? 3,000. And they were able to do great and mighty things because the Lord was with them, because His Spirit was with them, because He was leading the way. He was with them through His Holy Spirit, igniting the fire to pray. So, my dear brothers and sisters, church family this morning, we should be praying. We should pray a lot. Not only when we are sick. I know most of us pray when there is a problem. That is good. But in health or in sickness, we should be praying. Whether we have a lot or we have nothing, we should be praying. You know, we are reminded, I've been reminded too in this sermon this morning, that the Lord is telling us we should be a people of prayer. Not only all the people of the book, but a people of prayer. And I thank the Lord that the short message that I'm sharing this morning will help us in our walk with the Lord. Please pray a lot. I will call upon our two elders to come and lead us into a word of prayer. If you can bow down, kneel down and pray with us, that's okay. If not, you can just sit. And I'll call my brother elders to come up and pray for us. Pray for us as a church, as a family, because this is the things that we need in our walk with the Lord.
Let us pray. I'll bow down. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again this day. We thank you, O Lord, for all of your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Mm-hmm. We thank you for Jesus who came and gave his life for our sins. Mm-hmm. And Lord, as we hear this sermon, Lord, we heard this sermon about prayer. I pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us and help us to be a church of prayer, a church that prays morning, evening, and noon without ceasing, as you said, Lord. Help us, O God, to be what you want us to be. We know you're coming soon, and so we need to know how to pray and what to pray for so that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into the word that we are supposed to do. Help us, my God, to be a praying church. Help us, O Lord, to reach out to others and be strong to do the things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, cleanse us from our iniquity. Please give us a new heart so that you can hear the petitions that we bring before you. There's a great need for the presence of your Holy Spirit to remind us that it is through you that we get all blessings. Please prompt us to continually pray to you, to do that which you've called us to do, to be good Sabbath keepers, to keep all the commandments that you've given us as a show of our love for you. It is through prayer that we gain the power and the connection with the Holy Spirit to do your will. Make us available to you through prayer so that we can hear that which you're calling us to do. May we be tuned in to your still small voice so that we can know that we are doing your will and not our own will, Lord. So we ask that you bless our entire congregation with your Holy Spirit, powered by prayer, so that we can make the impact we need to make here in Sacramento. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.